Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is Hockman and Crowder on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
We were looking forward to talking to this guy yesterday. He got unavoidably detained, and he's kind enough to join us today, so that's exciting. We'll head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Kurt Heelan, he is the lead NBA writer, managing editor at NBCSports.com. Follow him on Twitter at ProBasketballTalk. And he's joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Actually, at Basketball Talk, right? Not Pro Basketball Talk?
Yeah, just at Basketball Talk.
At Basketball Talk.
Sorry about leaving you guys hanging yesterday. I did not mean to do that.
No worries. You've always been a very good guest to us, and it gave us a chance to blame Falero for something that was totally out of his control.
Oh, no. But it was his fault completely.
Exactly. Oh, thanks, exactly. Well done.
I don't care if he's 3,000 miles away. It was completely his fault.
Kurt Heelan, so I do want to talk to you about the Miami Heat and the acquisition of Dwayne Wade, but there's a lot of other stuff going on in the NBA. But did anyone see this Heat D Wade reunion happening this way?
Not this way. I mean, I think there was a real sense that he would play out the year in Miami, and then, you know, in the off season, they'd find a way to get him there. It's where he wanted to go.
Play out the year in Cleveland, you mean, not Miami.
In Cleveland, yeah. And nobody kind of, I mean, I think most people thought they would make one big move in Cleveland, and that would have been, you know, bring in, and they were actually, I can tell you, the morning of, they were still having conversations with the Clippers about DeAndre Jordan and trying to find third teams to kind of make it work for them. That wasn't off the table till the very end when Cleveland went kind of radical on this. And when they did, they did the classy thing. And, you know, they didn't ask for much back from Miami and got Wade where he wanted to go. But I think everybody thought LeBron was gone this summer, Wade be gone, and that's when all the changes would happen, not when they did.
And with Wade leaving Cleveland, everybody's painted as they did him a favor, letting him come back to Miami, I guess, to retire right off into the sunset. But did they not need Dwayne Wade? Because there was reports out that he was kind of a cancer in that Cavs locker room.
I don't think he was the real cancer problem in that locker room, but they needed to move on from kind of what was going on there. And I think this moving Wade on was probably part of that. But they had, I mean, you guys watched them at the end, man. They had to get younger. They had to get more athletic. They had to get more energized. And I think Wade, with the group they have now, would have been fine. But as part of just the process, and he told them he wanted to go to Miami, they found a way to make it happen. So I think it was a favor in the sense that they didn't fight it, and they didn't ask for money. They didn't give up. You know, Miami gave up a protected second rounder to get a future Hall of Famer. That's not normally how that goes, but it just works out better for everybody, I think, this way. It's better for Miami, for sure.
When you say that he wasn't the real cancer in the locker room, you're obviously talking about Isaiah Thomas. What happened there? Was he exposed? Like, was he exposed as not the player that we thought maybe that he was in Boston?
I think part of it's the injury, and part of it's just not having the ball in his hands. He can't work off the ball very well. So the injury, you know, being injured, coming back, not being himself, not being fully 100%, then having to look, you guys saw this in Miami too. Learning to play with LeBron James isn't that simple. Like, LeBron James is the most dominant player of this era, but playing with him is not that easy. And it took, you know, Chris Bosh had to adapt, and Wade had to adapt, and everybody else around him. So I don't think Thomas could get there, but I think what hurt him more, and frankly what hurt him going into the summer more when he's got to, you know, get another contract, is how he handled that. Like, if you've played 15 games, man, and you've been out injured all season, you don't get to come in and bark. Like, you don't get to come in and just start, you know, throwing everybody under the bus. And now he got to the Lakers. He said a couple of things. He needs to just shut up and play now. The oh, you know, now we're running a system and all this stuff. I'm like, dude, let it go.
Does he just lack all self-awareness? Like, I feel like anyone would know that if you were new to the team and had been out most of the time, like, I feel like anyone would know, take a subservient role, but you can't be the alpha dog immediately.
No, and I think it's what he pictures leadership as would be the best way to. It's like how it was described to me. He thought this was how you lead. And let's be honest, if you're the true leader of the team, if you're Wade in Miami now, if you're LeBron or, you know, pick your lead, you know, great leader in the team, there are times you got to call your teammates out. But you don't do, Chris Paul doesn't call his, I mean, he barks a lot at his teammates and it gets on his nerves, but he doesn't come out in the media very often. And the best leaders pick their spots with this stuff and lead more by example. And I just don't think that was in his repertoire, at least not yet. He better do that in L.A. and do it quietly and put up some points at a sixth-man role so he can get paid next summer.
Kurt Helan, lead NBA writer, NBCSports.com. Talk about the Heat and D-Wade here again for a second. Is it good for the Heat basketball-wise to have D-Wade back on the roster?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I think just there's a guy who can close things out, who's a guy who can gear it up for the playoffs, who can be there. And I think you saw it. Look, they lost, I think, five in a row, right, before he came back and they got the win. That's the kind of just the energy. I think it, as much as it's off the court, and I think a lot of the energy and the guiding this team off the court and having that leadership role as part of it, he can still bring it, man. He can still get you buckets late in games. You've got to manage the knees and all that stuff, but he can still, in playoff games and certain games when you need it, get the bucket, and you need to. I mean, Detroit stumbled a little now, but, I mean, they're about three games back, and you know, there's enough time. You've got to keep winning.
What do you think for his legacy, the stay in Chicago and the half season in Cleveland means to Dwayne Wade? Is it a blip on the radar? He was obviously humbled, right?
Yeah, I think it's a blip on the radar. I think the idea of going home sounded great, and it just didn't execute the way they wanted. You know, nothing went the way they planned it that year in Chicago. And the LeBron thing, talk about things where things did not go as planned. I mean, that, you know, we went into the season all thinking it's Cleveland and can Boston or Toronto or anybody come up and challenge them, and it turns out, like, they could self-implode. And I think, you know, the whole thing went sideways, but I don't know that falls on him that much. He was playing his role. He just couldn't. But I think it's better for his legacy. Now, I think your blip in the radar is kind of the right way to see it, man. It's just, it's here and it's gone. When we think about Wade 10 years from now, we're going to think about, you know, the LeBron years and the 2006 title and him in a Miami Heat uniform, and we're not going to, you know, they're not retiring his jersey in Chicago, is my guess.
And now, how does the East look to you now? So we saw this reconstituted Cavs roster. I watched the game against the Celtics on Sunday. I'm imagining you saw it as well.
Yeah.
They looked pretty damn good.
They did. It's one game, so I'm a little hesitant to go very far down the path. But you know what was different? They tried. They tried on defense. You guys had watched them games before this and seen them in person. Like they were essentially like, well, it was LeBron and four orange traffic cones on defense. Like people just dribbling around them. So the fact that George Hill could switch a pick and roll or actually stay with his man when he went under and just do some stuff, that worked a lot better. They just looked a lot smoother. We'll see what it looks like over time. I need to see, you know, let's get them some practices out during the All-Star break and wait about 2 weeks. But I think an energized LeBron, and he looked energized, if he's engaged again and the rest of those guys are actually just trying and kind of filling roles, they become the team to beat again just because, I mean, I think Boston and maybe Toronto, if they can carry this system over to the postseason, might be able to beat them. They might be just as talented and depth-wise, but LeBron's been there 7 years in a row, man. If he's got a decent team around him, I'm hesitant to pick against him.
And, Kurt, his new crew, they're puppies, though. LeBron always had, like you were talking about with Wade, his comfort level of having that old dude. Are these young guys ready for that playoff run? Nance, Clarkson, Rodney Hood, are they ready to go into the playoffs and play some of the best teams? And you're speaking about the West, maybe in NBA history.
Yeah, exactly. If the mark for Cleveland is we've got to go beat Golden State or, you know, whoever comes out of the West, then it's been nice knowing you. Like, there's nobody in the East on their level. The Golden State and Houston are on a different level right now than everybody else, and everybody else is trying to get there. If the goal is to get to the finals and then, you know, hey, we got a puncher's chance, you never know what happens, then that's a reasonable goal at this point. I don't think there was any move out there that was going to put them on Golden State's level unless, you know, Paul George and a couple other guys suddenly became available in trades.
Does the Heat have any chance to make some noise in the playoffs come playoff time?
I think so, because I think that it's going to depend on what the you know what the seedings are and who you get. I mean, let's say you get Toronto in the first round. They've played great. I want to believe in them, But history tells me, you know, they're vulnerable. They will, when the pressure is on them, do they revert back to isolation basketball? Does their defense slip again? So I think it kind of comes down to the matchups. I think Miami is not an easy matchup for everybody. If you get, you know, Boston in the first round without Gordon Hayward, how good are they? This is the first time a lot of those guys have been through this. So we'll see. I think the East is more wide open than the West. I'm not sure I'd pick Miami, but it depends on the matchup. If they get the right spot and they're playing well, you never know.
All right, we have not talked about this yet today, but Kurt Heelan is on the line, and so I'll bring it up because it's gone a little bit viral today via social media and all the sports radio and sports TV platforms. Steve Kerr allowed his team to essentially coach themselves. What was it, against Phoenix, I think?
Against Phoenix.
I said to Crowder, that's a little bit disrespectful. No, and he said, a little bit disrespectful.
That's crazy.
So I guess we can all agree it's a little bit disrespectful to Phoenix, but what's your take on that? Was that a bad choice by Kerr, or was that Kerr being Kerr, and that's one of the reasons that his players love him?
Yeah, it's just that. It's Kerr being Kerr. I mean, Popovich did this where he had Manu running huddles not that long ago. Like, they let guys do it. He did it for a whole night. Let Draymond run some. I think, you know, they were consulting with JaVale McGee, obviously their greatest strategist. but it's still, you know, it doesn't bother me. And kind of, I know, I get it. It is kind of disrespectful. And if I were Phoenix, I'd be kind of disrespected by that. Then do something about it, man. You got walloped. You just got crushed. Phoenix is probably, over the last 10, 15 games, the worst. Actually, I was looking it up this morning. Over the last 10 games, they are the worst team in the NBA. They've lost a bunch in a row. They're dreadful. It happens, man. Yes, he picked a team he could beat doing it to that, but you put yourself in that position, man.
But it's like I'm having a tough time. I don't know what side I fall on this because obviously you've got a team like Golden State. You've got to figure out a way to keep them inspired and engaged every night, right? There's no reason for Golden State to be engaged against Phoenix. So he seemingly found a way to do so. But by doing it, it was almost like like winning a raffle. You know, it's like, hey, you coach the team during this timeout. And it doesn't matter what you say because we're going to beat them anyway. I don't know. I can't figure out where I stand on it. I don't know if I have to take a side on it, do I?
I think it is a little bit. I mean, I think it was disrespectful, but they've won, I think, three in a row now, but they lost three of four before that. They haven't. Their defense over the last 10, 15 games has been pretty bad, frankly. It's been mostly transition defense and mostly because they're just not focused. You watch them play, I'll tell you the analogy I've been using. They look like they have a bad case of senioritis. Like, all right, when do we get to the All-Star break? When can I go to Cancun? And, like, they're not focused on the game right now. So I think that this was a way to get them engaged for a day. They get through the All-Star break, and when they come back, I think you'll see Kerr kind of like, all right, done playing around. We got to, you know, there's 20 whatever odd games left. We got to build some good habits and get focused, and I think you'll see them kind of dial it in.
And Earl Watson is the head coach of Phoenix right now. Would Kerr have done that to a Spo or to a Pop or somebody? Or is it okay with that because it's Earl Watson?
I don't know if it was Earl Watson so much as it was just a bad team that he knew he could do this and get away with it. I don't know that he would have done it to a coach or team he respected it, even a bad one. Like, I don't think he does it to Dallas. Dallas isn't a very good team, but you do that to Rick Carlisle and he'll carve you up. And by the way, it's Watson's out. It's Jay Triano now in Phoenix. And
this is Channing Crowder, our best strategist.
I'm in JaVale McGee.
Watson's already been he's already been axed. It's Jay Triano, who may very well keep the job. He hasn't done a bad job there, but actually Triano had the best line after the game. He goes, "Yeah, I saw that. I thought their plays looked better."
It's funny. I remember when Pop called it was Pop that fouled Shaq, right? In like the first second of the first game of a season.
And laughed. Yeah.
That was funny. I like when coaches have personality. Like, I like a Steve Kerr. And obviously players like him too. This is a strange
maneuver.
Players
would like it from a coach.
No, but I like coaches that have personality. I like coaches that acknowledge as well. Like, Steve Kerr is acknowledging there, right? That he's not needed for a game. Like, I mean, literally not needed. Most people would never acknowledge that about their job, no matter what it is.
Yeah, exactly. I know that I am needed every day at my job. In fact, I almost need a raise, or, you know, things will go south. Yeah, I guess that there's part of it, but I think that Kerr is, A, secure enough in the system, and B, like you said, he's just trying to get those guys dialed in again. He's just trying to get them focused again. They're mentally on, you know, they're already fishing mentally, or golfing, or whatever, you know. I know Kerr's going to Hawaii. He's probably, like, sipping a Mai Tai by a pool already during the, you know, All-Star break. They're already mentally checked out. They just got to get through. I don't know if their last game's Wednesday or Thursday, but they just got to get through it.
Kurt Heelan, NBCSports.com. So coming out of the West, you've got who? Houston or Golden State?
I still got Golden State. I mean, Houston's really good. I think they've got the best chance of anybody to knock off Golden State. But as you guys know, playoff basketball's different. You get to really dial in, try to create matchups, go after weaknesses. And that's where Golden State shines, because they're so versatile. There's so many guys that they can throw into so many different lineups. They can go a little bigger, then go a little smaller. They actually haven't played Draymond and Steph Curry that much together this year. He's really kind of tweaked the lineups around. But when it gets serious, he can go back to the big guns. And I just don't know that – we'll see. I mean, I like Houston, but I just don't think they're going to be able to match up with it.
And coming out of the East, you have Cleveland.
I guess. I'm not sold. I really need to see more of them in a couple weeks to see how this shakes out. I'll say Cleveland for now, but I like Boston, and honestly, I'm higher on Toronto than most. I still, maybe it's just because I would like to go there in the spring rather than February. but it's that team is defending much better. They're moving the ball. If they can continue to kind of play this more egalitarian offense in the playoffs and not kind of revert back to bad form, I think they're really dangerous.
And the song Mr. Roboto by Styx, classic or garbage?
Wow. I'm going to have to, you know what? Honestly, I hate that album.
Really?
I kind of like Styx, and I'm just not a fan of that album
at
all.
I keep hearing that over and over again. I am so shocked by this. I thought it was a beloved song, and nobody seems to like it.
No, it's not for me, man. And I like a lot of stuff out of that era, although I tend to gravitate towards angrier stuff. But Mr. Roboto is just a little too. It's the Radio Gaga of Queen to me. It's like people like it, but it's not my song.
But it was like it was the future. It had a robot's voice.
Well, that changes everything. Then I'll change my opinion.
Domo arigato, Mr. Kurt Heelan.
I enjoyed Mr. Robot. I thought that was awesome. Like the first season of Mr. Robot's awesome.
The TV show, Mr. Robot?
Yeah. Yeah.
You like that, Falero? That's a good show?
Really good show,
First season is amazing.
Huh. I don't know who would be on my Mount Rushmore of robots now that you bring it up.
Johnny Five.
Well,
The one from the cover of Queen Saves the World has got to be on there.
I'm thinking Irona from Richie Rich Comics. Irona, anybody?
Who's that? Yeah. The maid?
Yeah. Oh, my God. How did you know that?
I remember those.
All right.
I forgot about that one.
Kurt Heelan.
The maid from the Jetsons, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And she was thick.
What? Yeah, she was thick.
She had a little booty.
Rosie? Was her name Rosie?
I believe
Rosie,
so.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Ooh. All right. Lead NBA writer, managing editor, NBCSports.com, Kurt Heelan. Follow him on Twitter, at Basketball Talk. And tonight's Heat-Raptors game, what's closer to the truth? D-Wade goes 1 of 9 and has 7 turnovers, or D-Wade goes 4 of 5 and hammers one home?
Hammers one home. I'll go with the 4 of 5 still.
Okay. All right. I like that.
I'll take that. And by the way, you guys can now check out my new blog. I'm going to start Pro Robot Talk.
Pro Robot Talk. If you need a lead writer, I am in, man, because I've got...
All right. We'll see what we can do.
What was it in the movie Wild Wild West with Will Smith?
The Big Spider.
Is that considered a robot?
Yeah.
Oh, that was... Boy, that movie was terrible.
Really terrible. There's no one that liked that movie, right?
I don't know anybody. Go watch the Kevin Smith description of that movie and how, with the Superman tie-in someday on YouTube. It's a long involved story, but it's brilliant.
Truly one of the worst movies I've ever seen. One of the worst movies I've ever seen, that movie. You ever see that, Falero?
I actually liked it as a kid.
Of course you did. Kurt, thank you for making time for us.
Take care, man.
Kurt Heelan. Follow him on Twitter at Basketball Talk. I am so shocked about this Mr. Roboto stuff.
Really?
I am blown away. No, is it just fashionable to say that you didn't like the song? Like, that could be, too, you know, where nobody wants to admit that they liked American Idol, except it was the highest-rated television show for years.
I think it might be like the Macarena.
Where you can't, like, you
where
can't
it comes
help
out.
But...
It came out and it was cool, and then they played it so much that you kind of disliked
just,
it in
yeah.
the long run.
That's what happened to Harlem Shake. Because we played it earlier, and now it actually sounded good again.
You were alive that time and we weren't. Did they overplay Mr. Roboto when it first came out?
Oh my God, that song was the future. I'm not kidding you. There was a robot voice. It was the future. All songs were going to feature robots from that point on.
So they turned them off. They turned off
the listeners. I guess so.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.